Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
4th and 6. Rams bring an extra body. Williams protected. Williams to the ball. To the end zone for DJ Moore and a touchdown. Their first connection together.
1-on-1 with the backer. Had a little stick knot. Caleb paced the ball very well. And I just had to keep my feet in and make the catch.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to DJ Moore when he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. DJ, how are you?
I'm doing amazing.
That's good to hear. Good to hear.
Wait, I was worried for you, man. You took some big hits yesterday. You, at one point, you were limping. I saw you go into the tent. How are you feeling physically?
Physically sore, but mentally and everything else, I'm feeling great.
How badly did you guys need that game yesterday coming out of Indianapolis? Long week. Noisy week. A lot of conversation about what the offense wasn't doing. A lot of criticism for Shane Waldron, the play caller. Yesterday, how much of a relief was that winning that game?
It was a big sigh of relief. You know, it can get ugly in the NFL because it's one game at a time. But if you get on that losing streak, it'll stay. Other teams will make sure that it stays on you. So once you break that, it's good to do.
I'm curious. I want to talk to you about usage, about the way that you're being used, because I saw this statistic going into the game yesterday. You ranked 72nd in the NFL among 91 wide receivers in terms of the depth of the routes that you were running. So in other words, your average route was 7.5 yards. And now, you know, you look at that and you're thinking, why are they constantly trying to get you on bubble screens and short outs? Are they ever going to get you down the field? And, you know, we know how good an offensive player you are. Is it frustrating the way that you are being used? Are you too close to the line of scrimmage all the time? We saw you take a couple of big shots. You went up and got a ball. It was a high pass, and you got cleaned out on that one, and that wasn't really beyond the marker. I just don't understand why you're not being thrown to down the field more.
Some with the game plan, and now I don't be frustrated with it because I know it. Some of the shots be on the game plan that may not leave the call sheet, and we've used for another week. And it's all depending on the play call and what's called that week. So this week we had a few decoy plans for me, and some of them got off and some of them didn't. So it's just a revolving door of how I'm going to be used all year.
Let's talk about how you were used for the touchdown that you did score, isolated on a linebacker. Bad matchup by the Rams, but good scheming by whoever came up with that formation to isolate you on one-on-one back of the end zone. Describe the play, and when did you know that you got what you wanted?
We went into no huddle. The formation put me at 3. Across the board, we had winners, like runaway winners. So we knew that the front side, if they didn't win, he was going to start working back to his backside progression. And that's where I came into play on the backer. And once you get that, you might as well call it an easy touchdown.
Well, I heard Montez Sweat say that he felt insulted when they attempted to have him blocked by a tight end, a young tight end at one point, and he pretty much ran over the guy and forced a fumble, and Kyler Gordon recovered it. Did you feel insulted when a linebacker attempted to cover you?
No, I didn't feel insulted. I just seen the matchup when I got lined up. I was like, oh, this is about to be an unfair matchup for him. not for me. It was more for him. Just because the speed difference and the athleticism.
How banged up were you during the game? Because it appeared a couple times you got up very slowly. Molly mentioned about how your catches tend to be more of the horizontal passing game than the vertical stretch. And at times you feel more like you're taking the beating of a running back. But how beat up were you? And were you at any point like where you had to miss some time?
No. I think I came out for one play. That was it. I really wasn't beat up. It was more I think I had ran all the way down the field, and I just had to come out for a second.
Yeah, you look like you were limping a little bit, and then it was funny because you were just kind of pacing behind Eberflus when they showed you on television. You were just walking back and forth, and then you're right back in the game. I know that it's easy for us to say that, it's just a football play, but, man, there were a couple of big hits that you took. I also, like, twice, I think the quarterback – took big hits, but they were erased by defensive holding, and the Bears end up with first downs. I was saying to David this morning that Jared Verse, that guy could have been like the defensive player of the week if his secondary wasn't holding you guys.
Yeah, they was doing a lot of holding. I mean, you can see it on their tape, but for it to come out to come alive in a game, like every like they had back to back plays where they got holding penalties, and then like throughout the game you could just go back and just watch, like, they really have a problem with holding.
So at the end of the first half, there was a play where you and Caleb just did not connect. It appeared like maybe you took a step or slowed just slightly, and he overthrew you. Was that just a matter of the miscommunication? How would you describe that play? Because it would look like it could have been, boy, a really nice touchdown.
Yeah, I would take that blame. Just he thought one thing, and me thinking another thing on a conversion route, just to get back outside, and he wanted me to stay straight. It was on me. So now that we got it talked about, it won't happen again.
It's interesting. I heard him talk last week, and he said that he and Rome Odunze are staying after practice and running like 10 extra plays, just the two of them, because they want to try to build some chemistry. Are you doing any extra work with him to help with that chemistry? Do you feel that you need to know him better? He needs to know you better? Is that maybe one of the things that could lead to a more of a breakthrough?
It could, but we also take a lot of together reps in practice, even during practice when special teams are gone. Me, him, and Keenan, and our coaches, we all over there running routes or catching balls that's going to be in that we know is going to be in certain spots. So, if I did that extra, I mean, I could. But I feel like we get a lot of work in during practice and even during, like, our breaks and during practice. So we actually are running extra routes with him.
DJ, we all know that it's dangerous to try to interpret body language, whether it's, you know, coming off the field at halftime or your reactions on the sidelines. So just in your words, how would you describe your relationship with Caleb Williams and the kind of chemistry you guys have?
Our relationship is great. It's fine. It's never anything bad toward Caleb or anybody at that such. Just out there being frustrated when we don't be able to move the ball or hit the plays that we're supposed to hit or like we get a three and out. Like, we want to be out there. Like, the first half was like kind of frustrating for everybody because we didn't put up no points, and we just couldn't connect until we came back out and we just was hitting on all cylinders. So Stuff like that will eat at you, but, you know, it's football. We got to recruit and go back out there and play the other half of football.
We talked to you last week, and there were a lot of people that were trying to read your body language and the look on your face, and you talked about it by, you know, you said it was no big deal and there was no problem, but by midweek, you said to the collected media, you were asked about it, and you said, you know, I got to look at myself and I got to self-evaluate, and I'm going to consider all of this stuff, because you read all that stuff. I'm just wondering, so the stuff that came out of the game was like DJ sitting by himself at the end of the bench. He's waiting for everyone to go in at halftime. Then he walks by himself into halftime. Do you have to be conscious of how under scrutiny you are?
No.
Okay.
I don't care about what they put out, because it's not even like what it seems. Right. I was waiting for everybody to go in so I could undo my pads, because I was going to take them off at halftime and get some work done. And that was it. So, and then I was talking with one of the other receivers, so that's why I really was waiting.
So, DJ, you're a captain. So last week, Shane Waldron began his Thursday news conference thanking the leadership council or committee for essentially holding him accountable. And we heard from Mercedes Lewis pretty vocally about how they needed to tell Shane Waldron, don't worry about walking on eggshells, which to me was a startling revelation about having any coach in the NFL walking on eggshells. What can you tell us about that? What led to that meeting, and how satisfied or unsatisfied you were leaving it based on what you heard from Shane Waldron?
The meeting went good. You know, he listened to our thoughts and really went out there and tried to execute them within the game plan and how we set up the game plan and everything. But he heard what we said, and the meetings got better with, like, holding everyone accountable in the room, from me, from Big Dog, Mercedes, all the way down to the rookies. Everybody, if you messed up, you got called out. So starting there was a push to get everybody on the same wavelength, and that nobody is going to be hidden in this offense.
I'm curious, did it mean – I mean, I saw you blocking quite a bit, and there was one point where you were blocking for Keenan Allen. What did it mean for the team to have him back?
You know, he's another, what you call a ball of life, you know, when he's out there. So, for him to be out there making the plays that he did, it shows that, we got a lot of trust in Keenan, and he's a part of his offense.
We talked to Olden Kreutz about an hour ago, and he referenced that when you do have somebody like Keenan Allen back in the offense, regardless of how many targets he may receive, or it just is another weapon. And he noticed that the Rams were a little bit lighter in the box, that they had to respect his presence. And that's the kind of thing that maybe you're alluding to. And did you notice that from a Ram defense that came in struggling? And I think that, you know, your offense took advantage of their weakness.
Yeah, you definitely, when he got back, you definitely know that you got to account for him. No matter if he gets one target, no targets, but you are aware that he's on the field and he can make a play at any time, so you definitely have to account for him.
What has it been like for Swift, for DeAndre Swift, and do you feel like yesterday's game is sort of a breakthrough for him? I mean, he had a really nice catch of a screen pass that led to a field goal, and then obviously he had a touchdown run.
Yeah, he had a breakthrough. I'm proud of him, you know. He was hearing the noise from the fans. Mm-hmm. So once he got past that, I told him, don't let him steal your joy. I got that from our receiver coach here. And then after that, he was just having fun with it, going out there and playing free, and you see the outcome of it.
I saw you toss the touchdown pass to Caleb after the fact, maybe for his mantle somewhere. I also wondered if you received – or if you were aware of the fact that was the third time that you have caught a touchdown pass from a number one overall draft pick. Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, and now Caleb Williams.
That's a unique stat. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
I don't think that, and there are many receivers that can probably say that. And that speaks to a couple things. You've played with a lot of quarterbacks.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, go ahead.
That's really a unique stat. I did not know that. I thought you was going to say something else, but I didn't know where you was going with it.
Cam, Baker Mayfield, and Caleb Williams, what do they have in common? Well, they're number one overall picks. I don't know if there are many other similarities there.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, I saw you come into the stadium, and your kids were with you, and it was so cute because your son kind of froze at one point. He just stopped, and your daughter ran back and grabbed him and pulled him forward, and then he ran up to you. It was like a beautiful little moment. Is that how much fun is that for you, just bringing the family to the game?
It's a lot of fun, you know. They wanted to go. They wanted to go down the walkway, and I was like, "Eh." At first, I was like, "I don't know," but then they was like, "Eh." I was like, "Okay, come on." And then we just went down, and the little dude just did his thing. He stopped, started posing, smiling, and everything. I told Ari to go get him, but he wasn't trying to move. So I was like, "Hey, he can have his little 15 minutes."
So next week, the Panthers come to town. I know you played against them last year. How special is it to play against your former team? And do you have a lot of people still in the organization that you have relationships with that you're looking forward to seeing?
I know a few players still there. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing them because they're the next team on the schedule. I mean, I think last year I got everything I wanted out of my system with playing them, so I'm really not on that this year.
I'm curious, how different does the week feel after a win, right? I mean, regardless of what's happened, it's got to be very difficult to lose a couple games, and then you come back and you're 2-2. We know you got Carolina coming in. You're headed to London. How different is the vibe after a victory?
I mean, you go in there with your head held high. You smiling. Everybody's smiling. But you still, it's better to get coached up on a win film than going in there with a loss and watching it, because it's like, dang, everything is under a microscope. When you really lose, but it's under a microscope when you win. But that's better than sitting in there while you watching losing film.
Especially when you're the offensive coordinator. And back to Shane Waldron for a moment. This had to be a very satisfying victory for him because of some of the adjustments that were made, some of the things that you guys did offensively that maybe you weren't able to do the previous week. How would you just describe the week that he endured and just how he connects and communicates with players?
I think his week went good. Like I said, I think he incorporated what we talked about as offensive leaders, and then went out there and executed it to his way of doing things. And I think he connects with us well. Goes from the top down. He goes from himself down to Thomas and Simo, and then down to the assistant coaches, our coach Moore, because we got to be connected with Caleb, so we all sit near each other, talk near each other, and it's just back and forth conversation.
DJ, thanks a ton, man. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, DJ.
Man, thank you.
That is DJ Moore, the Bears wide receiver. Interesting stuff.